Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Without any further ado, here is the Liberal candidate, Jeff Kwasnik. I'm so pleased to have with me today, Jeff Kwasnik, the Liberal candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. Welcome to Consider This.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. I'm very happy and pleased to be here.
Instead of going over all the party platform stuff you have included in your speeches and campaign literature, I want you to pick one thing, just one, that you did not include. One thing that we will not read or hear over the next 4 weeks that you wish you had included.
Geez, you always get me with a few of these zingers, Robert, and I try to figure it out ahead of time. I really do try to do some homework and think, oh, all right, what is he going to ask me? I've done a lot of homework on where we're heading. So one thing that, that's a tough one. You know, I will give you one. I think the one thing that I have been particularly interested in, and we are going to have a platform on it, is rural Ontario. What I believe you're asking me is something outside the typical issues like healthcare and education, long-term care. For me, rural Ontario is really, really important because, you know, even our urban areas are probably more non-urban than actually urban. And so that is something that is of real interest to me. And I'll be honest that, you know, certainly in the last election, the Liberals did not do well in rural Ontario. But I think it's an area that I live in, that I believe in, and it's something that we need to take a look at. And, you know, if I can talk about a few of those issues within rural Ontario for a moment. I think one of the number one things that I've been hearing at the doors is we have a lack of doctors. We have a lack of professional healthcare providers in small town Ontario. And that is something that I think the Liberals and Stephen Del Duca and certainly myself are very, very interested in trying to repair. It's not an easy thing to do, but certainly we need to do it. You know, I think my mother is 86 years old, Robert. She lives in Oshawa in the house that I grew up in. And I've really tried for the last few years to get mom to move out, to be a little closer to where Maureen and I are. And she often says, you know, my friends are here, but most importantly, my doctors are here in Oshawa. And I think that she just fears that if she came out this way, it would be very difficult for her to find a doctor. And I think it'd be very, very difficult as she continues to get older, and she's in wonderful shape, drives all over the countryside, but having to drive to Oshawa is tough. So I think that is an issue. I think along with rural Ontario, we have to be very conscientious that we are losing 175 acres per day of farmland to development. And that is a real concern, particularly for our farmers out here in Northumberland, Peterborough South. And I guess, Robert, a question I would get you to just sort of think about for a minute, if we're losing 175 acres every day, what is Northumberland County going to look like in 10 years or Peterborough South?
I'd like to turn now to your campaign and your platform. Now, you say in your campaign that you believe in real wages. I want you to explain to me what that means.
Well, I think in terms of real wages, I think we have to look at an affordability issue, Robert. And the whole notion of affordability, it's huge. We can bring in affordable housing and we could bring in cost of living. And I think those things truly affect what a living wage is. You know, I think we learned a lot of things through the pandemic. And I think it's very, very difficult. I think in the early stages, we identified workers as essential workers. And I think as time went on, I think the definition of essential workers truly did change. I think that we learned many, many things going through that whole experience. You know, when I went in to do my grocery shopping, I often thought, you know, these people at various times within the pandemic were literally risking their lives, and yet they were there serving us. And to me, that was essential. When I look at the police that were working every day and our first responders, when I look at the medical staff, they were all essential workers. And then I look at people who were going in and doing perhaps factory or carpentry work, our plumbers, our electricians, they were working every day through the pandemic. So the whole living wage, I guess for me, it's, can you make enough money to be somewhat sustainable, to pay the rent, to buy the groceries, to do all of those things? And I think that is something that we truly have to take a look at.
Well, let's take a look at that then, because the minimum wage was just raised to $15.50 an hour by the current government. And the previous Liberal government back in 2014 tried to tie in the minimum wage to inflation. But then 3 years later, your Liberal government stopped that practice. And then it promised to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour just before the last election. Now, none of these amounts add up to a living wage, like you were saying. I mean, if you check, the living wage for somebody living in Northumberland is $18.80 an hour.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, what is your government then going to do to provide people with that living wage?
Well, one of the things that Stephen Del Duca has mentioned is we want to look at a living wage, and we want to look at a minimum wage that might be attached to a particular area. And exactly what you were just talking about, we know that living wage within Northumberland is sitting at around $18 an hour. And yet I think that if we simply jump to that right away, I don't think that would work. But we have been very, very clear at saying that we would immediately increase the minimum wage to $16 an hour. And then within the Liberals taking over government, we would look at that living wage per area or per sector.
Well, but looking at something and doing something about it, this is the perennial thing that when people are listening, I know gets under their craw. You know, all of a sudden we're going to be at the next election and you're going to be telling me again, well, we're hoping to, can we not get something more concrete that says that your party is going to start creating a wage? Because it's even at $16, you're still $3 short of what it takes for somebody to live in Northumberland. So what can you promise us concretely that's going to happen that we're going to reach that?
Well, I think, Robert, if you remember the last time the Liberals were in government, we said that we wanted to increase the minimum wage to $15. And then when Doug Ford took over, he reduced that. And it took him four years to get to the $15 minimum wage.
OK, what's your party going to do if you're elected and you're the government? What are you going to do concretely to get to that living wage, that minimum living wage in Northumberland?
We have been very, very clear that we would immediately, upon taking power, increase the minimum wage to $16 an hour, and then we would move towards a living wage.
Let's talk about healthcare then. Mm-hmm. Now, your campaign literature says you believe in public healthcare.
Absolutely.
When the Liberals were in power, we watched our local hospital struggle annually with its budget. The Liberals in those days would provide funds each year, but there was never a commitment to making those amounts permanent so the hospital could count on those dollars. Now, since the Conservatives have come to power, they have spent unprecedented amounts of money locally. They've made the funding permanent so the hospital board does not have to worry each year if it's going to get its money that it needs. So, and they've created health teams locally. So what is it that you believe you can bring to the table that's going to do better than this? And I'd like you also to address the concerns that you just articulated by the person at your roundtable.
So, you know, I think a lot of the funding that the Conservatives brought to the healthcare table have been in regards to bricks and mortar. And that's all fine, but we need the healthcare professionals to work within those hospitals, and there is certainly a shortage of that. So I think we certainly have to look at having more people working within our hospitals. You know, I've met with.
Wait. Can we just stop a second? Hold on. Yeah. You mentioned bricks and mortar. What's wrong with bricks and mortar? Maybe something needs a new roof, or maybe something needs to be painted, or we need to expand something here. Like, what's the problem there?
I don't think there's a real problem. Absolutely, I'm all for fixing leaking roofs. I'm all for putting on additions to hospitals. It's fine. The easy part of healthcare is throwing money towards bricks and mortars, in my opinion. Creating the policy so that things can function within that is the tough part, though, Robert, and I feel strongly with regards to that. And I think that's all I am saying is we sort of have to fix the inner workings, as well as building new hospitals and adding on and repairing those things. Don't get me wrong. I think that's equally as important. I think that, you know, and I've spoke with administrative staff at numerous hospitals. I think that what I am hearing is we have a lot of people that are going to hospital that don't necessarily need to go to hospital. And maybe we should have other things in place that would free up some of the
isn't that the purpose of the health teams? Isn't that what's going on right now with the health teams?
Well, it is, and that makes perfect sense. But at the same time, that's where we maybe need to put some of those bricks and mortars into where are those health teams going to actually do their work? Because some of them cannot function within the hospital per se. As an example, maybe we need some facilities to help out with mental health. Maybe we need some facilities that are dealing with poverty issues related directly to one's personal health. So maybe instead of people going to the hospital for these things, we should be creating more like almost like a hotel hub where you can go and you can maybe get some food. You can look at affordable housing for those who perhaps are living on the streets. Maybe you can get some mental health care and all of those things, which free up some of the things from our hospitals.
Now, there are openings for 22,000 nurses right now in Ontario. So what are you going to do to get 22,000 nurses into the healthcare system now and not make us wait?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I'm very glad that you asked that. The question would be, why have so many nurses left the healthcare profession? And we've seen that happen, particularly in hospitals. And I think it comes back to, they don't feel valued. They're overworked, they're stressed. And we have seen that many, many nurses have left working in the profession, particularly in our hospitals. I think the other thing that we have seen is we're not seeing the numbers of young people wanting to go into this profession. And I think that it just has so many, nursing seems to have a lot of negative connotations right now. And I come back to that whole notion of they don't feel respected. I do believe that the start is once we repeal Bill 124 and we begin to show that we respect them, I think that you will see more and more young people say, yes, I want to get back into this profession. I would also add that the, you know, we have a number of nurses who are either about to retire or eligible for retirement. And the Ford plan was to have them sign on for an extra year for $5,000. And nurses find that somewhat insulting. And when you think about it, they say, you know, basically, I'm going to probably lose half of that in income tax. So I'm really looking at $2,500. And I really don't know if I want to do a full extra year for an additional $2,500. And we have seen that in several other provinces, it has a similar thing has been proposed, and the figure is double that of what Doug Ford is offering. So I think in order to attract more nurses, and we do need to hire them, we have to make the profession more attractive. It's really that simple.
Let's move on to a topic I'm sure is one of your favorites, and that's public education. Okay. You complain the conservatives have taken a hammer to education, mm-hmm. and your party has committed to spend $1 billion to limit class sizes to 20 and hire 10,000 teachers.
Yes.
So over what period of time are we talking about here? How fast is that going to happen?
Well, I think we want it to happen as quickly as possible. You know, certainly hiring 10,000 teachers is a challenge. There's no question about that. Having said that, we know that we've lost a tremendous number of teachers who went to school in Ontario and have left the province because, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there were no jobs for teachers. And then suddenly we've just had so many retirements. We're in a bit of a shock, per se, when it comes to needing teachers. So it's an ambitious number, but I think it can be met.
So what is as quickly as possible mean? Can you help me with that one?
Well, I think that we're looking at probably within the first 2 years of the Liberals taking government.
Your campaign literature says you are concerned about municipal affairs. Would you reverse the decision and let the sale of the Wesleyville lands to Port Hope go forward as originally planned?
I'm glad you brought up Wesleyville. And I can tell you what I definitely wouldn't do, Robert. And that is, I would never, ever see what happened. I would never see what happened 72 hours before there was a signed binding agreement to transfer that land over. I would never be a part of something like that. I think there are a lot of questions that residents of Port Hope and residents of the province of Ontario would like to see answered with regards to the Wesleyville land transfer. Because if this can happen in our riding, in the area of Port Hope, Wesleyville, who's to say that it won't happen in other jurisdictions? And frankly, let's be honest, it really has happened with Doug Ford using the MZOs.
Well, okay, but you didn't answer my question. Would you reverse the Wesleyville land deal and go forward with it as it was originally planned?
What I would say is I think there are a ton of questions that I have for the Ford government with regards to Wesleyville. Why was the agreement canceled? We don't know that. So I think once those answers came in,
we do know the answer. The answer is that the Center for Realty Excellence has taken over. They're saying that it's because of the legislation, and therefore the disposal of the lands is going to take place through this core, this Center for Realty Excellence.
So yeah, but there's not even infrastructure based on core. They basically created core. They came up with an acronym with no substance behind it. What I can tell you, Robert, is I would do my best and I would fight to restore that land to Port Hope and its community.
I'd like to move on now. We live in a time where there is very divisive politics. There's a lot of negativity. We see it in the legislature. We watch attack ads. And some people may wonder, what happened to civility in politics? Can you name one policy or idea put forward by your opponents, and in particular, let's say the conservatives, that you would support?
There is no question we live in a very diverse, we live in troubling times, Robert. And I see it at the doors. There are some lovely, lovely people. And when I knock on their doors, even if they can't support the Liberal Party, they're incredibly polite. And I understand that. There are also some very, very angry, angry people when I go to the doors. And I honestly try to understand that. And I think that any government that is going to assume power next has to work with, you know, and somehow unite us better together. For me, this isn't Canada. This isn't Ontario. This isn't the province that I've known. And I think there have always been some bumps in the road, and I think there have been disagreements between political parties before. But it certainly is at a different level than I've ever seen before.
But can you name one policy or one idea put forward by the NDP or the Conservatives or any of the other parties that you would support?
I haven't really given it a lot of thought. I've really focused more on what our policies are. There are always going to be some similarities that all parties have. I really haven't thought a lot about that. So off the top, I can't think of any. I'm sorry about that, Robert, but I can't.
To finish, tell me one thing that you are passionate about, a hobby or a guilty pleasure or an activity that has nothing to do with politics.
Well, I love tinkering around my house. I love building and creating things. I love landscaping. And again, I think those are just, for me, those are things that reduce my stress level.
Jeff Kwasnik, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it.
That was Jeff Kwasnik, the Liberal candidate. You know what issues are most important to you, your family, and friends. If you have an issue not addressed during these interviews, please go to the Northumberland 89.7 FM website. There you will see a button for our election survey. Fill it out. Let us know what issues are important to you. We will do our best to get you answers. It's your voice, your vote. Go to northumberland897.ca. That's northumberland897.ca. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.